Some news has just come in. Union officials in New York City say several hundred firemen and policemen taking part in the rescue operation at the World Trade Center are missing, and many of them presumed killed when the World Trade Center Twin Towers, that famous landmark, collapsed alongside a building just next door. You're listening to a special news program from the BBC. There's been an extraordinary series of violent attacks on the symbols of United States power in both Washington and New York. Two passenger airliners were hijacked and deliberately crashed into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York. Both buildings collapsed. A third plane was then flown into the Pentagon Defense Headquarters in Washington. There's clearly been enormous loss of life, and many people have been injured. We've changed our schedule programs to bring you uninterrupted coverage of events in the United States. We have reports from the BBC network of correspondents around the world with regular news on the latest situation in New York and Washington. You can also hear our radio reports and find other background information on the internet. The address is www.bbc.co.uk/... World Service. Welcome to a special edition of World Briefing with Doug Jimmerson. The news at midnight GMT. It's been a day of terror in the United States after a devastating series of attacks targeting the country's financial and political centers. Two hijacked planes crashed into the World Trade Center in New York, toppling both towers, where thousands of people had just arrived for work.
We heard a big bang, and then we saw smoke coming out, and we saw the plane on the other side of the building, and there was smoke everywhere.
In Washington, the Defense Department in the Pentagon was also hit. No one has claimed responsibility for the attacks. It's not yet clear how many people have been killed in what's been described as the worst act of terrorism in history. We'll bring you all the latest news and analysis from the United States and around the world. First, a roundup of the latest information with Roger Crisp.
BBC News. There have been a series of catastrophic attacks on the heart of American power in New York and Washington. Two hijacked passenger jets were flown directly into the two towers of the World Trade Center in New York, one of the tallest buildings in the world and a symbol of American capitalism during morning rush hour. Shortly afterwards, another hijacked airliner was flown into the Pentagon building in Washington, the headquarters of the American military. In New York, both towers of the World Trade Center collapsed, one after the other, within 2 hours of the impact. BBC's industrial correspondent Stephen Evans, who was in one of the towers when it was hit, was giving an interview when the second tower collapsed.
People were just standing around, talking to each other, nodding their heads. Oh my God! Oh my God!
Next to the devastated Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, the 47-story Salomon Brothers skyscraper has also now collapsed after catching fire. But large numbers of rescue workers are in the area. Their job is being hindered by thick fog of ash, fumes and debris from the ruins. Mr. Giuliani said around 600 people have been admitted to some of New York's many hospitals so far, but that the full scale of the tragedy may not be known for several days.
The number of casualties
will be more than any of us can bear, ultimately. And I don't think we want to speculate on the number of casualties. The effort now has to be to save as many people as possible.
And some news coming in. Union officials in New York say that several hundreds of firemen and police taking part in the rescue operation are missing. Many of them presumed to have been killed when the World Trade Center buildings collapsed. A third hijacked airliner was deliberately crashed into the Pentagon in Washington. The building burst into flames and part of its five-sided structure collapsed and continues to burn. This man witnessed the explosion.
I heard this plane come over my head, and the next thing I know, there was this tremendous explosion as it hit the Pentagon. I looked over, and the smoke started coming up. Pieces of the plane and pieces of the Pentagon were falling onto the 14th Street, onto the highway.
Despite the extensive damage, the American Defense Secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, said the Pentagon was functioning and would be open again shortly.
The United States government is functioning in the face of this terrible act against our country. I should add that the briefing here is taking place in the Pentagon. The Pentagon's functioning. It'll be in business tomorrow.
Emergency service controls in Pennsylvania say a fourth airliner, which crashed in Woodland near Pittsburgh, appeared to have been hijacked. They say they received a mobile phone call from a man who said he was a passenger on the United Airlines flight, which had taken off from New Jersey, bound for San Francisco. The caller said he'd locked himself in a toilet after hearing an explosion and seeing smoke in the cabin. You're listening to the news from the BBC. President Bush has consulted his national security advisers about America's response. He has now returned to the White House and is to make an address shortly. Mr. Bush, who was in Florida at the time of the World Trade Center attack, has since visited two Air Force bases, including the Strategic Nuclear Strike Force headquarters in Nebraska. He had this warning for the perpetrators.
Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts. I've been in regular contact with the Vice President, Secretary of Defense, the National Security Team, and my cabinet. We have taken all appropriate security precautions to protect the American people. Our military at home and around the world is on high alert status.
Many governments around the world have followed Washington's example by putting their defense forces on alert and calling emergency security meetings. Leaders have also given their initial reactions to the attacks. In Moscow, President Vladimir Putin condemned what he called the inhuman attacks. The British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, said Britain would stand shoulder to shoulder with America in the battle against terrorism. Suspicion for the attacks has fallen on Islamic militant groups, including those associated with the Saudi exile Osama bin Laden, who is already wanted by America for alleged involvement in previous attacks on American targets. The Taliban authorities in Afghanistan, where Mr. bin Laden is based, said he didn't have the capability for such a huge operation. Several hours after President Bush vowed to track down those responsible for the attacks, a series of explosions rocked Afghanistan's capital, Kabul. A big fire broke out on the edge of the city with flames lighting the night sky. The American Defense Secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, said a short time ago the United States was not connected with the Kabul explosions. BBC News.
It's 6 minutes past midnight GMT. You're listening to World Briefing from the BBC with Doug Jimerson. The wave of devastating attacks in New York and Washington has caused catastrophic destruction with heavy loss of life. The twin towers of the World Trade Center in New York were reduced to rubble after two passenger aircraft were hijacked and deliberately crashed into them. A third hijacked airliner then crashed into the Pentagon Defense Headquarters in Washington. As the scenes of chaos flood television screens around the world, Americans are trying to come to terms with these unprecedented events. Liz Blunt has this report on how the day unfolded.
The terrorist attacks have brought the heart of American life to a standstill. Government offices have been evacuated, borders closed, and all flights suspended. The White House spokesman, Karen Hughes, while attempting to reassure, left no doubt of the extremity of the situation.
While some federal buildings have been evacuated for security reasons and to protect our workers, your federal government continues to function effectively. The United States Secret Service immediately secured the President, the Vice President, and the Speaker of the House, and they are all safe.
The devastating attacks began in the middle of the early morning rush hour as New Yorkers were pouring into the city to start the day's work. A BBC reporter, Steve Evans, was inside the World Trade Center.
I was at the base of the building in the foyer when there was one huge thump. It sounded like a full skiff of garbage being dropped from a great height. I thought no more of it, but the building did physically shake. A few seconds after that, there were two more big crashes and people started screaming around me and running, just screaming, "Get out, get out."
What those inside couldn't see was that a plane had crashed into one of the twin towers. At first, it appeared to be a terrible accident. But then, as people stared at the smoke pouring from the upper floors, another plane came into view, heading for the building. It banked and crashed into the other tower. There was absolutely absolute pandemonium in Manhattan, one of the most densely peopled areas in the world.
As soon as I just came out of the train station, I saw the blast in the building. There were some people hurt. All the debris was hitting people and running up south to north, and it was terrible. It was the worst thing I ever seen in my life. There was this girl that had a big hole in her leg. She was bleeding. We just tried to help her. We took her down. The cops took her. Took her to Pace Hospital. It was incredible. It was incredible, all the scene.
As the rescue workers hurried to help, the vast building, weakened by the two impacts, began to collapse.
I'm sitting down and I'm crying. I couldn't believe something like this would actually happen. And about 10 minutes later, then the whole building just started to collapse. And now 2 seconds ago, both of them collapsed. And now there's no more World Trade Center.
Meanwhile, in Washington, unbelievably, another plane was heading for the Pentagon, the home of the United States military establishment.
It was sounded like a small plane, but it was very, very low. And the next thing I know, there was this tremendous explosion as it hit the Pentagon.
Part of that building, too, collapsed, but casualties have not been on the scale of the carnage in Manhattan. Although the speculation that there may be a Middle East connection, there's no clear indication of who may have carried out the attacks. But President Bush warned that whoever it was faced the full force of the United States.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended. Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
The U.S. President George Bush ending that report from Liz Blunt. President Bush has now returned to the White House and is expected to make an address shortly. We'll bring you live coverage of that as it happens. In a moment, we'll get an update on the situation in Washington. But first to New York, where the worst of the devastation was wrought. Our correspondent there is Greg Barrow. Greg, what's the latest?
Well, the latest is that we're getting reports from the fire services that up to 200 firemen and women may have lost their lives in the disaster. And also we're hearing reports that 78 policemen and women are missing. Now, these are the first clear reports we have of casualties caused by falling masonry when that building collapsed. So that gives some indication of the force with which those two buildings hit the ground in Lower Manhattan earlier today. What we still don't know is how many people were inside the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center when this disaster struck. And I think the fear is that there may be many thousands of people who perished there, although nobody has been bold enough to put a figure on that yet. As I'm speaking, emergency services are still at the scene. Much of the southern half of Manhattan has been sealed off from members of the public and the media, and it will still be sealed off tomorrow. And the search will continue, a search which is extremely dangerous because of the instability of buildings in the surrounding area. So people being very, very cautious. And now with news of what's happening in the nation's capital, Washington, where, as you said, President Bush is about to speak, here's my colleague John Lyne.
As President Bush flew back to Washington just over an hour ago, Air Force One had an unprecedented escort of 3 fighter jets. He's been in the Oval Office preparing for an address to the nation, which is due now within the next half hour. But already he's pledged to find those responsible and said they will suffer the consequences. Presidential aides have been trying to give some sort of reassurance to the American people. But in Washington here, the Pentagon continues to burn. The pall of smoke from that corner of the city is a reminder that things are anything but normal. There's a devastating hole in the side of that huge complex where the hijacked plane punctured this inner sanctum of America's defenses. Things in the rest of the city are beginning to move again, but you can see the sense of shock on almost every street corner. Earlier this evening, congressional leaders gathered to pledge unity in the crisis, and the group of 200 lawmakers broke, apparently spontaneously, into a chorus of God Bless America on the steps of the U.S. Congress. Now, Dr. David Willis is in the southwest of the United States, in the desert town of Barrow.
In the desert town of Barstow on Route 66, more than 100 people turned up at the local hospital to give blood. Nursing staff here told me they were overwhelmed by the number of people wishing to help those injured in the attack on the World Trade Center. With a population of just 24,000 people, Barstow has a special empathy with the victims of that tragedy. There are a number of military installations here, including the U.S. Marine Logistics Base, and many people here said they felt vulnerable to terrorist attack. At Barstow Fire Station, the chief, Eddie Varela, said he was taking no chances. He hauled every one of his 40 firefighters into work for a disaster drill. Barstow is hoping to send firefighters to New York to help deal with the disaster there. Flags here are at half-mast in bars and restaurants. There is a feeling of shock and outrage, but there is also a sense of bewilderment. One stunned resident summed it up. She told me, "It seems this country's worst nightmare has come true." From Barstow in California, it's back to the studio in London.
David Willis, thank you. The almost simultaneous attacks in New York and Washington have raised serious questions about the failure of U.S. intelligence. Aircraft across the United States are now grounded, with the aviation industry left to examine where their security mechanisms went wrong. Alex Van Vell has been assessing how these attackers were able to carry out such a coordinated strike on the American people. In Boston, shortly before 8 in the morning, the first aircraft began its devastating journey. American Airlines Flight 11 took off with 92 people on board and headed west en route to Los Angeles. But radar records show it then veered south to New York, striking the North Tower of the World Trade Center at around 8:45 a.m. The South Tower was hit minutes afterwards by a United Airlines jet from Boston, also bound for Los Angeles. The fuel tanks in both aircraft would have been full for their intended trips across the U.S. to the West Coast, maximizing their impact as they struck the buildings. A second American Airlines plane later hit the Pentagon in Washington after taking off from an airport in the capital. And a fourth plane crashed in Pennsylvania minutes after a passenger had reported it hijacked on a cell phone. In total, 266 people are believed to have perished in the aircraft. What's extraordinary is that the hijackers were able to carry out such a coordinated strike with apparent ease. Analysts are suggesting they were able to take advantage of less stringent security measures on domestic flights within the U.S. compared with international journeys. It's being speculated that this would have helped them subdue flight crews and seize control of the planes.